This morning's scripture comes as a continuation of 2 weeks ago. We looked at Jesus talking to the woman at the well. And I want us to take a different perspective from a piece that we can sort of carve out of that that whole moment. John chapter 4, verses 27 through 38. Just then, the disciples returned and were surprised to find him talking with a woman. But no one asked, "What do you want?" or "Why are you talking with her?" Then leaving her water jar, the woman went back to the town and said to the people, "Come here, a man who told me everything I ever did. Could this be the Messiah?" They came out of the town and made their way toward him. Meanwhile, his disciples urged him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you know nothing about." His disciples said to each other, "Could someone have brought him food?" "My food," said Jesus, "is to do the will of him who sent me and to finish his work. Don't you have a saying, 'It's still 4 months until harvest'? I tell you, open your eyes and look at the fields. They're ripe for harvest. Even now the one who reaps draws a wage and harvests a crop for eternal life, so that the sower and the reaper may be glad together. Thus the saying, 'One sows and another reaps,' is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefits of their labors." Well, welcome to part 4 of our series, Let's Take a Walk, as we've been wending our way through the season of Lent, following Jesus as he moved his way to the cross and his execution, and then finally resurrection that we celebrate Easter Sunday morning. We've been hearing him invite people to walk with him. And as they did, they heard his call, and as they walked with him, their lives were changed, the disciples. And others who met them and Jesus along the way, their lives were changed too. And as he charged them to walk with him, I think he's calling us too to follow. So with that in mind, one more time, let's take a walk this morning. Have you ever played an observation game called Where's Waldo? Anybody ever seen that? It is a cartoon drawing of a mob scene, a crowd. These tiny little faces of hundreds of people in this one drawing, brightly colored, full of confusion. And somewhere in that scene is Waldo. Waldo has got bushy brown hair, horn-rimmed glasses, a goofy grin, and he wears a red and white striped toboggan cap and a sweater to match. Some of you who've seen that actually found Waldo, know what he looks like. Anybody here really good at that? I'm not. I can look, no matter how long I try, I can look different directions, different angles, I can get down close, I can squint my eyes, I can turn bright lights on, and I get caught up in all kinds of details and I lose faces. And somebody will inevitably, if they see me doing this at some point, say, "Where's Waldo?" And I just look at him and say, "Who cares?" Dumb, stupid game. Because I can't figure it out. You might ask, what does Waldo and trying to find him have anything to do with this series or our conversations this morning? After all, it's just a game. And you'd be right. Waldo is a cartoon character, and finding him is just a game. And what we're doing here is much more than that. But while Waldo is a fictional character, the woman at the well was not. I don't have the time to tell the whole story, but you may recall that Jesus and the disciples were moving through a region that Jews didn't go through because the Samaritans lived there and they despised the Samaritans. And they came to a town, and Jesus wanted to stay out by himself for a while, sent the disciples in. He stayed at the well. A woman came to him at an odd time of day, came to the well. And he struck up a conversation with a woman. That was a no-no. With a Samaritan, that was even worse. And as they talked and he asked questions, she opened up and he told her what he knew of her life, which was much more than she ever imagined, and what he knew of hope and what he knew of God. And he revealed to her that he was the Messiah. And through that conversation, he sent her home to get her family to bring them back to have the further conversation. And it was at that point in time, the disciples come back from town with their groceries, probably in those plastic bags, you know how guys carry them all in one load. And they see what's happening from a distance. Jesus is talking to somebody. And it's a woman. You don't do that, Jesus. And it's a Samaritan woman. What in the world have gotten into you? They didn't say anything. And as she leaves her jar there and goes back to find her family, they do what a lot of us do to deflect. Are you hungry? Let's eat. He's trying to get them to see what they couldn't see. He talked with them and tried to get them to see what he had come to see. He challenged them to do the same. He challenges us to see as well. But they didn't. They couldn't. And Jesus said, look out at the fields. Now, you're going to say at this point, it's 4 months to harvest. I would tell you, look more closely. And really see, there is a harvest ready right now. There are people who are ready to hear the message of hope. And God's intended this thing to where there is one who begins that work, and another comes along and tends the work, and another comes along and brings in the harvest. And so, he says, we're about the harvest. Can you see it? And they couldn't. Compelling talk from Jesus, and we think we get it. We think we understand, but do we? Why didn't the disciples get it? And why couldn't they see the crop was ready and it was time to act? What kept them? Or you know what? Let's just forget them. What keeps us from seeing clearly? Well, there are several things, and I'll share briefly because we have more important things this morning than this. We have Holy Communion to share. Maybe we can't see because we aren't looking in the right direction. I have confessed to you before that I used to be a golfer of sorts. Not the good sort, but other sorts. And I have donated more golf balls to other people than I could ever begin to count. And when they've gone off the fairway, I've gone a little ways to find them, but I'm always sure they've got to be just off the fairway when I know they went in somewhere else. But I'm not going back in there to find them. Sometimes I can't find the ball because I wasn't looking in the right direction. Sometimes we can't see the harvest because we aren't looking in the right direction. Sometimes we can't see the harvest because we have an expectation of what it will look like. And if that reality we paint in our mind doesn't fit the reality that stands right in front of us, we just don't see it. Sometimes we can't see the harvest because we can't get past our preconceived notions that preset our understandings. Sometimes we can't see the harvest because we don't understand the issue of timing. And there is timing involved in harvesting. If you grew up on a farm, I did not, or you've grown a vegetable garden in Indiana, I've done that, you know that there are basically three stages to a crop. There's green, there's ripe, and there's too late. If you've got tomatoes in your garden and you're going to go on vacation and tomatoes are going to come ripe tomorrow, the next day, and you go on vacation for 7 days to come back, you can go on vacation, you can come back, but you're going to find tomatoes that are well past picking for anything but thrown away. There's timing when the moment is right. There's timing in our lives when the moment is right, for people to hear, to be open to, and to receive that hope that we've experienced. Sometimes we don't see because we don't know it's our crop to harvest, our field to work. Billy Graham once said, "Every generation is strategic. We're not responsible for the past generation, and we can't bear full responsibility for the future generation. But we do have our generation. And God will hold us responsible as to how well we fulfill our responsibilities to this age and take advantage of our opportunities." And finally, could it be that we sometimes don't see the harvest because it's hard to see the fields if we don't want to be inconvenienced? Now, I'm not indicting you. I'm asking the question. It's inconvenient work. I have to push myself away from the table or get myself up out of my lazy boy or push away from the desk or wherever it is you happen to do your work to even look out the window, let alone go outside. I just stop what I'm doing to do something else. So how do we get past all these things that keep us from seeing the harvest? Keep us from finding Waldo? We have to remember that it's not about us. For all we might wish it to be, it's not about us. It's about God. Would you say that with me? It's about God. It's about God. Let's say it again. It's about God. One more time. It's about God. What if during this week to come, that became a mantra for us? Anytime you were stuck in traffic, stopped at a light, had a change of focus, something along the way that you could just all of a sudden share that thought with yourself, even aloud, because we believe what we hear, even when we say it ourselves. And say, it's about God, it's about God, it's about God. Remind us where we fit. It's not about us, it's about God. And our role in this is that we get to tag along with God, walk with God, and share in the joy of the working to bring in the harvest. It's a matter of making God's purposes our purpose. Jesus could see, but the disciples could not, because he was his father's son. His father has eyes to see the woman at the well because he loved her and he wanted her to know that he was setting her free. And Jesus had eyes to see her because he had his father's eyes. The disciples returned and asked Jesus if he's hungry, and he said, "I have food you don't understand." They didn't understand. Did somebody feed him? Have we missed lunch now? The food that keeps me going is to do the will of the one who sent me, finishing the work he started. That work was to set us free, you and me, set us free, and to invite us to be his sons and daughters. Now then, if God's interests are the fields, the crop in the field, then we, if we're his children, then won't our interests be the same? The crop in the fields? What are the fields? It's just not about corn or beans or wheat or broccoli. It should never be about broccoli. It's about people. People we know and people we don't. Important people and unimportant. People who are comfortable financially and those who aren't. People who look like us and those who don't. People who are broken and hungry and hurting and alone. And if we're to be like our Father, if our interest is similar to his, that his interest is the field, if we're to have his eyes to see, we have to move from the level of lowest investment, that of curiosity, trying to find a cartoon character in a crowd, to living for what God loves and seeing what God sees and reaching out to bring those people home. Okay, that's the call. And we've heard that call before. That's what God desires of us. So how do we do it? I'm not a farm boy. I have no experience except to bale hay for a couple of years, and I can tell you that helped me more than ever to remember I wanted to go to college and do something else. Because farming is real work. But maybe I've understood one thing. Maybe it's just this simple, at least where this is concerned. Step one is you got to go outside. You got to go outside and take a walk. Take a walk off the back porch or away from the barn and walk to the field. And don't just stand in the windrow. Get inside, all the way in. So far in, you turn around, you can't see the barn behind you. You see the field. Go outside and take a walk. Shuck an ear or two of corn and look at it. As you learn to see it, it'll show you signs that it's ready. Walk into the field, and while you're there, pick something. Donald McGavran said, "The world has more winnable people than ever before, but it's possible to walk out of a ripe field empty-handed." I say again, walk into the field, and while you're there, pick something. Talk with someone. See them, really. See them. Listen to them, really. Listen. And see if they won't show you the signs that they're ready to hear a word of hope. Ready for a harvest of genuine, authentic love that comes from the one who has loved us. There are all kinds of ways to do that, and we do it. You can do it in everyday life as we live with those people around us, from family to friends to coworkers to others. But there are things we're doing too here as a church that are chances for you to get a taste for that. You've heard one story this morning from the food pantry. That's one of the ministries that we do that connects with people in the field. We're also, in a couple of weeks' time, going to be having an egg hunt at a neighboring apartment complex, Crossing, thank you. I always say that, and I said it doesn't sound quite right because there's so many crossings here and there and somewhere else. Cumberland Crossing. And we're going to have those who want to go be there to spend time with those kids and their families and just enjoy and share who we are and share the hope that we have as we talk to each other, looking for signs that there's a crop ready to be harvested. You want to be a part of that? You can sign up and join us. We've just begun a partnership with Hoosier Road Elementary School, which is just a mile down the road from Cumberland Crossing and serves those same families and others. We're working with the principal, doing what the principal thinks is most effective and impacting to touch those children and their families to improve their lives as we work, some of us direct, hands-on with mentoring children, others of us doing administrative volunteering, others working on even the building site to beautify it. Some way that we're taking a walk out of the building. And coming up this spring, we're going to have a day of caring, working with a community senior citizen ministry as they identify some seniors for us to go and share with as we do light work around their house or outside their house and just spend some time talking with folks who are lonely. Doesn't take a theological degree. It takes a heart to care and eyes to see. And all those things are open to you. Come and learn more in Connection Central. And it may be those things give you a taste so you understand that you can take a walk out of your house into the field, even by yourself, and find somebody a whole lot more important than Waldo. And think about it, if Jesus hadn't taken that walk, the woman would have gone home, bowed under the weight of a clay water pot, life unchanged. But he did, and he saw her. And because he saw her, she was changed. And then he challenged the disciples and taught them how to see what he saw. Now it's our turn to look. Jesus saw because he had his Father's eyes. Do we? Come with me and let's take a walk.